This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Whether you're a sports hater or a fan, you're most likely familiar with basketball, football, or soccer. Well, there's a whole world of other sports out there you may never have heard of. Curling, wife carrying, cheese rolling. The Reduced Shakespeare Company comedy troupe, known for boiling down the bard, American history, Hollywood, and the Bible, now presents the complete world of sports abridged, where they promise to tackle every sport ever played on every continent in the entire history of the world. Austin Tickner, Reed Martin, and Matt Ripia, thanks for sweltering across town to be with us today.
Our pleasure.
You're welcome. I love these live performances here at NPR because they're all clothing optional. So thank you for that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Tichner, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 253, RSE, on NPR. In the summer of 2011, when we were performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., we were asked by Sue Goodwin, the producer of Talk of the Nation on National Public Radio, to come in and give a live performance in Studio 4A that would, oh yeah, just happen to be broadcast to millions of listeners across the U.S. and around the world. We were, of course, thrilled to do it, and again, we marveled at how smoothly host Neil Conan is able to get us from one highlight to the next.
ESPN, it's the Reduced Shakespeare Company Sports Network, or RSCSN. But we've come to expect certain stereotypes from our sportscasters.
Well, and with any luck, we have fulfilled those stereotypes.
Yeah, I play the ex-jock turned sportscaster with extensive insider knowledge of the game, which I'm unable to articulate.
Yes. I'm the bookish intellectual whose wimpy demeanor masks a deceptively detailed understanding of the complexities of the game.
And I'm the telegenic eye candy who just stands there and looks pretty.
And doing very well. Thank you.
I think so.
This is radio. But we're all pretty for radio. Yeah.
There is also the origin of your name. You say every continent and every time period. The Reduced Shakespeare Company, any Elizabethan sports?
Yeah, we go from sports from the dawn of time. In fact, we have an Elizabethan sports report, do we not?
Absolutely. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears for the Elizabethan sports report, Dateline 1604. In the NBL, the National Bear Baiting League, the Bears literally killed the Bulldogs 5-0. In Falconry, former Atlanta Falcon Michael Vick also literally killed Bulldogs. Too soon? Yeah. There's been a lopsided deal in the equestrian world with Richard III trading his kingdom for a horse. In tennis, Henry V did not fancy the Dauphin's balls. All's well did not end well for Ophelia, who failed her swimming trials. And it was much ado about nothing for Lady Macbeth at the Westminster Dog Show when her dog Spot was thrown out. Damn Spot! Thank you so much. Thank you.
There is also the question, you've skewered Hollywood in the past. Some of our favorite sports movies come up in your program, as I understand.
Actually, we present the single greatest sports movie of all time.
Yes. A young boy from New Jersey moves to California where he doesn't fit in and gets beaten up by bullies when he talks to one of their girlfriends. An elderly Japanese gardener jumps into the fray, beats up the bullies, then teaches the boy the power of nonviolence so that he, too, can beat the crap out of people. The gardener dies, and the boy is recruited to play on a sad sack Little League team by an alcoholic coach who hates kids.
Meanwhile, down the road, a struggling, apparently schizophrenic corn farmer hears voices in his head telling him to build a baseball diamond in the middle of his cornfield. Soon, a series of impossible events occur. Dead ball players arrive. The farmer plays catch with his long-deceased father. Brian sings his song, and four Rastafarians slide in on a toboggan.
Across the country in Philadelphia, a washed-up boxer gets a chance at the heavyweight title through a series of far-fetched coincidences. He falls in love with the homeliest girl in town, who becomes the most beautiful girl in town the moment she removes her glasses. The boxer runs up the steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, shouts, "Show me the Monet," and wins an Oscar.
Oh. Ooh.
The boxer, the farmer, and the kid all train together by running on the beach in slow motion to an inspirational song. Inspired by the drunken coach, the baseball team wins a championship, but the kid is stricken with an incurable, debilitating disease. He gives a moving speech saying he's the luckiest guy on the face of the earth, and then is promptly euthanized by Clint Eastwood.
But the crazy farmer signs with the Durham Bulls and falls in love with Susan Sarandon. He wins Best Director for Dances with Wolves and lives happily ever after.
Until Waterworld.
The end.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now that's a movie that I would like to see.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The Reduced Shakespeare Company. Eric's on the line. Eric joining us from Morgantown in Kentucky.
Neil, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is cricket. I've yet to figure it out. Like, I know somebody stinks a bat.
Sorry. Go ahead. You were saying?
All the scandals that's been going on and all this weird stuff, can somebody just simplify it for 5 seconds? Tell me, like, how they keep score, where, like, you know, anything about it. All I know is they run back and forth.
It's a great question because cricket games go on for days and end in a tie. So I don't know.
So it's never going to catch on here.
This show isn't long enough to explain cricket.
Yes. The pitcher's the bowler, and the bowler's the batsman, and the strike zone is the wicket. And
sometimes you get a sticky wicket, and I have no idea what that means.
The only thing that's great about cricket is that it makes baseball look exciting.
Yes, that's true. That's our favorite part about cricket. Yes.
I love baseball, but it's like I cannot put my thumb on how even like keep up the score, watch it, figure it out, listen to it on the radio.
Well, a guy just bats and bats and bats until he's out. And mostly what it consists of, what would look to us, is like a foul ball. I saw a game in London at the Oval once. And basically they're just ticking away. Then when they hit it far enough, they run back and forth between the two wickets. And they can keep batting until they're out.
And isn't part of the challenge keeping your cricket whites pristine white? Isn't that
it? Well, I think the bigger challenge is trying to stay awake during the whole match. Yeah.
I think cricket is really just an excuse for the Brits to sit down for a nice cup of tea and crumpets.
They do break for tea in the afternoon.
That's right. Yes. They take tea. A sport that takes tea break is not a sport. I'm sorry.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Eric, thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it. I'm not sure we helped much, but we appreciated the phone call. You said cricket makes baseball look exciting.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I don't. I have a problem with baseball.
Reed, can you explain to me why baseball is not boring? Because it's
too.
Not. It's not boring because you got the pitcher staring down the batter like two gunfighters.
Yeah, and you got eight other guys standing around doing nothing.
Well, not if he gets a hit.
Well, then one, maybe two guys get to do something.
On a double play, three. There is a lot going on in baseball that you can't see.
See, but that's the thing. I like a sport where there's stuff going on I can see.
Well, you don't get it.
No, I get it. What's the most exciting thing that can happen in a baseball game?
A no-hitter.
Exactly. The most exciting thing that can happen is when nothing happens.
Oh. You're right.
Sorry. Baseball is not a sport.
No. We have a question here in the audience, Studio 4A.
Hi, my name's Andrew. I'm from Rhode Island, and I'm wondering when curling will be the most popular sport in America, and when that happens, why will it have happened?
Well, yes, when all of America has frozen over, then curling
We're going
will
the
be...
other direction, so it's going to be a long way off.
Yeah. Yes.
But didn't it seem to gain a lot of popularity in these last Winter Olympics? I saw more curling coverage in these last Winter Olympics than ever before. My favorite was the star. One of the teams was heavily pregnant.
Like
8 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And winning an Olympic medal. I thought that was fantastic.
See, that's the definition of a sport right there. If it could be played by a pregnant woman, absolutely.
Well, the weird thing, it was a guy. That was the weirdest.
That's the weirdest thing. Yeah.
But one of two sports that uses a broom.
Yes, with the other, of course, being Quidditch.
Let's see if we can call her in on the conversation. This is Mike, and Mike's with us from Madison in Wisconsin.
Hi, funny show.
Thank you.
The question for
what are you watching?
Listening?
We'll tune in.
I'm listening to Robert Wall, actually.
Nice.
The question is for the sports experts, how many kinds of football games are there worldwide? That's games with football in their title.
Seven. Thank you.
Next caller.
Right. Well, there's soccer, of course, football. There's American football. There's arena football.
There's Australian rules football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's don't the Canadians have their own version of football?
Yes. There's Canadian rules football where they just score and score and score.
Although there is only one football, and that is American football.
Yes, the most popular sport in the world.
Well, no, actually, there's seven, but there could
be nine. That's
what I said right up. Indoor football or indoor soccer, but there's soccer, the original football. There's rugby union with 15 players, rugby league with 13 players, Gaelic football, Australian rules football, Canadian football, American football.
So, Reed, you were right.
I was right off the bat. We were just in New Zealand, and they're gearing up for the Rugby World Cup, and they are really excited down there.
There is a team locally in the area here, the Baltimore Ravens, who derive their name from the great poet Edgar Allan Poe.
Which is right. He was from Baltimore, and he wrote The Raven. Yeah. What? So it's a cool reference.
Yeah, it's a cool reference, but sorry, they named their team after a depressive drunk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, that means, okay, when Los Angeles gets another NFL team, they can call it the L.A. Lowhands.
Definitely.
Sure, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, team names tend to fall into two categories. You got brave fighters, right. Vikings, warriors, pirates, or fierce animals, lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my. Okay, well, no, check this out. Okay, L.A. Lakers. Explain that to me. Los Angeles is not exactly known for lakes.
No, they're originally the Minneapolis Lakers.
Oh, okay. How about Utah Jazz? I can't think of any place less jazzy than Utah.
No, they started in New Orleans.
Yeah, but team names should be relevant to where they are now, man. You know, it should be like the L.A. Boob Jobs or the Utah Polygamists.
Definitely, yeah.
And let's go next to Andrew. Andrew with us from Sacramento.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, great. Awesome. Question. Bass fishing, sport or not?
Bass fishing, a sport or not?
Punishment. What that is.
You know, well, that gets into a whole debate about what's the difference between a game and a sport. Like, like golf, for instance. Is golf a game or a sport? Yeah. I say it's a sport.
Well, golf must be a sport because it's on ESPN.
That doesn't prove anything. Most of what's on ESPN is not sports.
Whoa! Are you crazy? No, it's the Total Sports Network. Do you know what ESPN stands for?
I have no idea.
It stands for Esports P Network. By definition, anything that's on ESPN is a sport.
Really? Is poker a sport?
Yeah, it's on ESPN.
That doesn't make it a sport.
Yeah, but it is a game. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
All right, well, game, sport, same difference.
Same difference. You got haggis for brains. Guys,
look. Can I help here, please?
Yes,
please. A game is simply a competition. A sport requires some physical prowess. Now, okay, some games are sports, and some sports are games.
It's basically setting a booby trap, right?
What are we talking about now?
The LA team that we were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Unless the fish is fishing back, it doesn't seem like it's a sport.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
Well, okay, check it out. A track and field is a sport. Basketball is a game and a sport. Candyland is just a game.
Well, obviously Candyland is a game. If it were a sport, they'd show it on ESPN.
Candyland is not a sport because Candyland requires no physical prowess.
Oh, no. The World Series of Poker requires concentration, memory, and stamina.
So does watching the Redskins play football.
That's true. Yes.
Then what about NASCAR?
NASCAR? Borderline sport.
Oh, God. Do not let them hear you say that down in North Carolina.
Hey, I didn't say it wasn't a sport. I said I don't know. You know what NASCAR stands for? Mm-hmm. Non-athletic sport created around rednecks.
Oh, really? Whoa.
Okay. Wow. We don't.
Hey,
this show doesn't air. It
doesn't air in Raleigh, does it? No. Yeah. Oh, I'm afraid it does, actually. Your prospects there are sharply reduced. Here's an email from Dave.
Fans listen to him.
Could you tell us more about the Punjabi game of kabaddi? Which translates to hand-holding. Apparently, the owner of our local Indian restaurant, The Antelope, was once the Mike Tyson of kabaddi.
Kabaddi tastes great with a lemon chutney.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of Evander Holyfield's ear. Yes.
We have
kabaddi and kabali.
We have a question here in the audience in Studio 4A.
Hi, my name is Kevin. I'm from New Jersey. And here's a little trivia question about back to the gridiron. And there's four universities in the U.S. that have produced a Super Bowl-winning quarterback and a U.S. president. And I was wondering if you knew those four schools, the presidents and the quarterbacks.
Mm.
Wow, that's
well,
fantastic.
It's not Whittier College.
Yes. Right, Richard Nixon didn't win a Super Bowl?
No, I don't believe so. Yeah. Yes.
The University of California, Berkeley had the previous Super Bowl-winning quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
But I don't think they ever had a
plug
president.
For our alma mater.
It is.
Let's see, a president.
They had the Secretary of Treasury. No.
President and a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
Hmm.
Neil knows.
No, I don't. I thought Princeton for a second, but, you know, you do
Ohio had the most presidents outside of Virginia. I don't think Thomas Jefferson played football, though. Did he?
Not well.
And not by himself.
Steve Young went to BYU. Joe Montana went to Notre Dame.
Do you have an answer?
Do you have an answer to this question?
I hope so.
I do.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. Thank goodness. We're off the hook.
Then you have the Naval Academy with Roger Staubach and Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
University of Michigan with Tom Brady and Gerald Ford.
Right.
Okay. Stanford, Herbert Hoover, and John Elway, plus Jim Plunkett. And the toughie is... Miami of Ohio with Ben Roethlisberger and Benjamin Harrison. So you're right about the Ohio.
Wow.
See, I was thinking it might have been Santa Rosa JC, but I was wrong.
Smell you. You got these answers going.
This is Alex Beeman. I'm one of the media propulsion engineers on the new iPhone, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? You can see all the great books abridged in California, The Complete World of Sports abridged for 3 weeks of the New Victory Theater in New York City, and the premiere of our latest stage show, The Ultimate Christmas Show, abridged at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to more excerpts from our appearance on National Public Radio's Talk of the Nation, right when host Neil Conan started to take in questions from listeners around the country and from the in-studio audience.
Question here in the audience in Studio 4A.
Hello, Sam Brown from Maryland.
Hello, and Sam Brown.
Hello.
From Maryland.
You know, the second only to curling, the best sport on Wide World of Sports was always barrel jumping. Who's your favorite barrel jumper?
There's so many.
Yeah, aren't there?
Tony Boom Boom Costanza was my favorite. He would leap over barrels every Saturday, and Jim McKay would say, "And here he is, here's Boom Boom," and there we would. I'm just making this up.
Yeah. Evel Knievel. I'm going to say Evel Knievel. Yeah. Evel Knievel. He took barrel jumping to a high art. He started adding buses and then canyons.
And broken pelvises.
Broken pelvi.
Yes. Did you have a favorite?
Billy Barrel Boom Boom.
No, I figured you guys are the sports experts because you watch ESPN.
That's right.
If it's on ESPN. And bass fishing is not on ESPN. I think it's on that other sports channel, Versus.
The fishing. There's probably a fishing channel. There's probably something, everything channel.
I've never seen a barrel jump. What does it jump over?
Email. You need to watch ESPN.
Yeah, clearly.
Email from Vanessa. What's your take on the softball infield fly rule?
Well, with first and second or first, second, and third occupied with less than two outs on a pop fly that an infielder could catch in fair territory on a normal effort, that's your infield fly rule. It's to prevent, trick double plays.
Sorry.
I actually used to be a professional minor league baseball umpire.
Really?
Yes.
They paid you for that?
Our dismay.
Say that again?
They paid you for that?
Very little, yes. Up in the Pioneer League.
It was a reduced salary. And didn't you decide you'd preferred being an actor because people didn't shoot at you?
That had something to do with it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another question here in the audience.
Hi, I'm Jane from San Francisco, and I was wondering if you could explain the scoring rules for frisbee golf. Ooh.
Yes.
Well, we could.
But yes, but our time is limited.
Yes.
Frisbee golf, let's see. Now, how does that differ?
From ultimate frisbee?
From ultimate frisbee.
There's less running in frisbee golf.
It's much harder to hit the frisbee with those clubs because the hole is smaller than the frisbee.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's virtually impossible to get the frisbee in the hole. So, yeah. It's a tough game. It's a very tough game.
Yeah, I gave
lots
up.
Of performance-enhancing drugs.
But you also need to bring a spare frisbee along in case you get a hole in one.
Absolutely you do. Yes. Ooh. We'll be here all week. Yeah. Try the meal.
That's way under par.
That's way under par. Thank you, Neil.
There you go.
Wow. If that one made you groan, this is going to be a long interview.
Let's see. We go next to Tom. And Tom's with us from Beaufort in South Carolina.
That's Beaufort.
Beaufort, excuse me.
Yes. My question is whether the troop knows what sport distances are measured in sewers.
Sewers?
Sewers.
Alligator chasing.
Nope.
It's a sport that Willie Mays once played.
Stickball. Yeah, he used to play with the kids when he played for the New York Giants. He was famous for, in the mornings before the games, going out and playing stickball with the kids. Yeah.
That's right.
How many sewers? Because there's a sewer right at the end of each block, at each end of the block. So how many sewers could you hit?
Yeah. And how many?
And became called a sewer's folly if you didn't do well.
Yeah. Only in Alaska. Yeah. Tom, how many sewers could you hit?
Three.
Not bad. Doubles hitter.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it. Here's an email from Brandy. I would like to know how much your guests know about roller derby. I've been playing for 5 years and found it's the fastest growing female sport in the world.
Well, I used to follow the Bay Bombers as a kid growing up in the Bay Area, Charlie O'Connell and Joni Wesson. Yeah, it's like wrestling on wheels, you know. It's great. It's exciting. We were just playing Austin, Texas.
Austin. And I think Austin kind of spearheaded the whole roller derby movement.
The revival?
The Renaissance.
Yeah. Well, and I just love the names. I mean, it's like, you know, you take your middle name and the street you grew up on, and that's your roller derby name?
Well, that's one thing. Yeah.
That's one way to use that, yes. let's see. We go next to Steve, and Steve's on the line with us from Toledo.
Good afternoon. My question is, as a longtime Cubs fan, can you create a
sport
which the Cubs play for themselves, by themselves, and they can make it to the World Series and play themselves in the World Series and maybe win in seven games?
No.
No?
No, it'd be impossible for the Cubs to ever win the World Series.
I think that's been proven scientifically.
You know, I'm rooting for the Cubs. I'm a Giants fan, and we finally won after 56 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I wake up in the mornings. Wake up in the morning and go, this doesn't happen to the Giants.
Yeah. It really doesn't happen to the Cubs.
Thanks very much for the call, Steve.
Thank you very much. Take care.
If only sports are on ESPN, writes Pat in Fargo, why is the National Spelling Bee on ESPN?
Exactly my point.
Because it's a sport. Hello.
No, it requires no physical prowess.
Physical prowess?
But that would make it interesting.
That's true.
Yeah.
Spelling bee and boxing.
A full contact sport.
Yeah.
Listen, you got to stand up there and not faint.
Oh, I know.
That's a lot of cardio. That's a lot of fortitude.
Man.
You know?
Man.
Another email, this from Steve in Ames, Iowa. How about a sport we could look forward to in the future?
Well, I know something I'm looking forward to. It's actually a movie version of the life of former Yankee and Dodger manager Joe Torre, who converts to Judaism, marries actress Tori Spelling, and honeymoons in Pearl Harbor. Mm. And it will be called Tora, 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 Tori, Tori. Yes.
And there's another trend happening with professional team names.
Well, we talked about the Baltimore Ravens and Edgar Allan Poe earlier. Professional sports organizations are following the example of the Baltimore Ravens and rebranding their teams using literary inspiration. And here are some quick scores now. In the NBA, the New Orleans Metrosexual Vampires caught the Washington Irvings napping. In soccer, the Baskerville Hounds killed the Mockingbirds. And in the NFL, the Chicago Hog Butchers slaughtered the Nantucket Pequods. The Pequods were also fined $100,000 for the non-Limerick use of the name Nantucket.
Yeah, a tough break for them.
Yeah,
tough break.
And gentlemen, how could we possibly have a show about sports without a fight song?
Well, you got to have a fight song. And this is why I personally prefer college sports to professional sports. Well, particularly because college sports fans aren't stupid and mindlessly violent like pro sports fans are, you know, except for the University of Maryland. But but also every college has a fight song, right, that celebrates the greatness, the glory of athletic competition. Mm-hmm. If we had a fight song, Reduce Shakespeare Company, our fight song could be something grand, something Shakespearean, we band of brothers, we few, we happy few, we fight all others for honor, glory too. We band of brothers, we answer freedom's call. Stay strong, it's all for one and one for all.
Hey.
Thank you.
Yes.
Kind of spitballing there.
No. What? If we're going to have a fight song, it should have a Y chromosome.
What does that mean? Wait a second.
It should be short and to the point. Fight, 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 kill, 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 crush and maim. We will rip their lungs out, strip their tongues out, leave them all to die.
No.
Break their kneecaps, smash their fingers, bring the pain and make it linger. Make them cry, no, make them die. Oh, this is my reduced fight song.
I had a lot of fight.
Thank you.
Not a lot of song.
It had enough
think.
Song.
No,
like
guys,
notes.
Look, you're overthinking this way too much. A good fight song should be simple and uplifting, you know?
How do you mean?
Something, I don't know, like, we gotta go out right now and win the game, or else our lives will never be the same. But now while our athletes proudly take the stage, we up in the stands proudly refuse to act our age. There's nothing we love more than our sports and ball. We rally behind our champions, warts and all. With all of our might, we're strong. Sing right along. Everyone sing a reduced fight song.
I don't even sing. How did that work?
That was really, really good. And it reminded me of some other fight songs I've heard, and that's good.
Oh, come on. Give me a break, Reed. You're always picking on me. It's better than your fight, fight, kill, kill,
Back off, pretty boy. Don't make me crush you musically.
Oh, yeah? Bring it on, old man. I'll smack you so hard your hair will grow back.
Wait a second. Reed, do that thing that you were just doing.
Fight, fight, kill, kill?
Yeah.
I thought you hated that.
I do, but humor me.
Fight, 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 kill, 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 kill. Fight, 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 kill, kill, kill.
We gotta go out right now and win the game, or else our lives will never be the same. But now while our athletes proudly take the stage, way up in the stands proudly refuse to act our age. There's nothing we love more than our sports and ball. We rally behind our champion sports and all. With all of our might, we're strong. Sing right or wrong, everyone sing our this fight song.
Oh, wow. Wow, that came together.
That was really, really good.
Yeah, wow, we were like a quartet.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your sports trivia questions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, bench warmer Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Josh Hall. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Sue Goodwin, Neil Conan, and all the great folks from NPR's Talk of the Nation. To hear our entire appearance, go to npr.org and search for Talk of the Nation Reduced to Shakespeare. Thanks also to Scott Simon from NPR, who you can just hear groaning horribly in the background after Show Me the Monet. And thanks to Alex Beeman, one of Apple Computer's media propulsion engineers. We lost Apple Computer founder Steve Jobs this week, and it was a particular blow given how much Apple products fill every niche in our lives, at least my life. It's the ease of use of Apple's GarageBand and the iPod's voice memo feature that makes it possible for me to produce and edit this podcast week after week. And not just possible, even easy, even for a non-sound and recording engineer like myself. Steve Jobs will be missed, but he will definitely live on in my pocket, on my desktop, hooked up to my TV, in these podcasts, and up on the iCloud. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 253/759 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Don't you have a reprise to that fight song?
Well, we do. We do, and we could even try to sing it for you.
Yes. Did that just occur to you?
We covered all sports. We hope you were not bored. To tell you the truth, some sports we just ignored. The show is all done now. Please get out of here. But not before you stand and give us all a cheer. There's nothing we love more than our sports and ball. So rally behind, we champions, warts and all. With all of our might, we're strong. Sing right along. This is the end of our reduced fight song. Goodbye.
Thank you, NPR.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.